How many of you got your Bibles? Anybody got a Bible with them? All right. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 30. We're going to I want to give you some terms that we've been using as we've been teaching Extreme Makeover Faith Edition. Faith is a very, very important subject in the Bible. In fact, it says in one place, we walk by faith, not by sight. In several other places, it says, the just shall live by faith. Reckon we're supposed to live by faith? If you're the just, you're supposed to live by faith. It says, the just shall live by faith. And you do live by faith, whether it's right faith or wrong faith. I want to give you a little bit different definition in terms. I'm using these terms interchangeably. And I'm being careful the way that I do it, because I don't want you to think that the study of philosophy is the study of faith. But your philosophy is your faith. So we're using the term philosophy. Let me give you a definition so you can know where I'm coming from. A system of values by which one lives, a system of motivating concepts or principles. That is your philosophy of life. That's what motivates you in your daily walk of life. I'm not talking about your... See, one of the things that we have a tendency to do is we separate the spiritual and the natural. And we don't need to do that. It's your life. Your life is your life. What you are living is your life. And when you come to church and you think, well, this is my spiritual life, and then you go out there and you think, this is my real life, that's not correct thinking. Life out there is your life. You come here to worship. Okay? You come here because you are the church. You're not coming to church. You are the church. When you leave this place today, the church goes with you, because this building is not the church. There's nothing sacred or holy about this building. There's nothing sacred or holy about this room that we're meeting in today. All it is a room. It's not a sanctuary. We don't call it sanctuary. We do slip of the tongue sometimes, but it's auditorium. Because you're the sanctuary. You are the habitation of God through the Spirit. And if we'll live with that in mind, we'll live differently. That'll be a motivating principle of our life. So when we say philosophy, we're talking about a system of values by which one lives. Then faith, the definition of faith is believing in anything as a code of ethics, standards of merit. And then I want to use the term worldview. I really like this. I really like the term worldview. And it refers to the framework of ideals and beliefs through which an individual interprets the world and interacts with it. That is your worldview. We don't see things as they are, we see things as we are. That's the glasses that we look through. We filter everything as we are. We don't always see things as they really are, we see things as we are. You know what you believe about God is important? It really is. It will determine your faith. It will determine your worldview. It will determine your philosophy. When I was a young man, I used to think that God was mad at me. I used to think that God really didn't like me, and that he was this judge that was up in the sky, and he was waiting for me to do something wrong, so he had the right to smash me like a bug. Now that was my worldview of God. Now is God a judge? Yes. He will judge the world. But I forgot to read the scripture that says God is love. And I didn't really realize, I thought he tolerated me. I didn't really think he loved me. But I found out he loved me. I found out that he loved me. And it changed my worldview. See, some people think that God kills people and maims people and makes them sick and steals their kids from them. I don't believe that about God. And it changes my worldview. It changes my outlook on life. It changes the way that I act towards God. It changes the way that I act towards everything. Your view of God, your worldview of God. And let me say this about God. You'll never completely understand God and His ways. And it takes a whole lifetime of changing and growing and learning so that we can determine what God is all about. And a lot of us have been taught wrong things about God. We've been taught wrong things about the gospel. Did you know most of the world believes that if they live a good life, that when they die, they'll go to heaven? You're talking about a worldview that is skewed and wrong and will get you into trouble. That one will. See, I found out that I can't do enough to earn the right to go to heaven. You just can't do it. Eternal life is a gift. And it costs God Almighty, through Jesus Christ, His life on a cross, that He could give me that gift. And when I learned to receive that gift, He transformed my heart. And it changed my life. But if you have a worldview that you have to live up to a code of ethics or standards in order to go to heaven, guess what? You're not going to get there. Now here's the thing, and if you haven't written this down yet, go ahead and write this down, because we're going to be referring back to this again and again and again. Because we've spent a whole lot of time talking about the way that we think. The way that you think is so important, because what you think is what you say. What you say will produce action. Your actions produce habits. Your habits produce character, and your character produces destiny. Guess what? If your character is not good, you've got some things that you need to change in your life. And you need to go back, and it starts with what? The thought. You have to change the way that you think. There, if you got your Bible, you have a whole book of the way that God thinks. And I'll tell you, that's a deep book. And you ought to be in it, because it's full of stuff that you need to know. It will change the way that you perceive and think about life. That's the reason that God gave. He didn't give it as a coffee table ornament. He really didn't. He didn't give it as a charm, as a magic potion. He gave it as a book that we're supposed to read and think about and meditate on and change our whole perspective about life. When you begin to understand things about God, you'll see people different. And you'll act towards people different. And that is your whole system of principles and values and things, and that becomes your faith. See, what you live out in your life is your faith. It is your philosophy, it's your worldview, it is your faith. But the best way to get the right kind of faith, because it says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You can have a faith that's really not a true faith. And there's a lot of people who have what they call faith, but it's not really faith. They create their own image of God that's not a correct one. I hear people say, I cannot imagine a loving God doing this, or I can't imagine this, and the God that I serve doesn't matter how I live, because the God that I serve, well, what if that's not what God's like? You know, one of the Ten Commandments is that you will not create any graven images. And the ideal is that you're carving out some kind of image that you're setting up and you're worshiping. Let me tell you, there's a lot of people in their minds, they carve out what they conceive God to be like, and that sets on the heart, that sets in their heart, and they have actually created an idol that they call God that's really not what God is like. That's better than what you thought it was. And maybe all of us to a degree, well, maybe to a big degree, really don't understand what God is about and like. And we have our own preconceived images that are not true images. So you need to spend some time in the book finding out what he's about. Because when you do, you know what it does? It changes the way that you think. It'll change the way that you talk. It'll change the way that you act. It'll change your habits. It'll change your character. It'll change your destiny. If you don't like where you're going, I don't care in what area of your life. If you don't like where you're going, let me say this to you. It's up to you to change it. People say, well, you know, I got things that I'm doing in my life I don't need to be doing. Well, change it. You have the power to change it. But it starts with finding out what is the right way to think about something. Because when you think right, you talk right, you act right, your habits line up, changes your character, and guess what? It changes your destiny. Now, there's two statements. I want to make a statement, and it's true and false. You heard people say, well, you know, God is in control. Well, that's true and false. There are things that God has control of that we have no control of. There are things that He has put in His power that He controls, that we have absolutely nothing to say about. One of those is the rapture, the second coming of Christ, the end times. He set that into motion. But where it comes to your daily life, God may not be in control. See, there are people who believe that everything that happens comes from God. That's fatalism. Well, the will of God be done. The will of God. And they almost have a blind, what I call a blind faith. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. See, faith begins where the will of God is known. I'll say that again. Faith begins where the will of God is known. And when I can start thinking God's thoughts, well, if I can think God's thoughts, would it change my outlook on life? Would it change everything about me? It'll change, there's lots of things that has changed me. And one of those is, we talked about this in the first service, is marriage. Kathy and I never talk about divorce. You know why? Because I learned what God's view of marriage is about. Is there ever a time that I thought, I need to get rid of this one? Get me 220s. If I did, I did it to myself, and I didn't say it to anybody, and I didn't say it out loud, okay? I think we all have, sometimes when we get into disagreements with our spouse, we have those kinds of thoughts. Well, what keeps you from acting on that? One of the things is that I know what God said about marriage. He said it's a covenant. He said, it's a covenant. I stood before a minister and made vows before people and before God to Kathy Darlene Green 36 years ago. And we have never talked about divorce. Why? Because we know what God thinks about marriage. You say, well, I've been through a divorce. You're condemning me. No, I'm not. I'm not here to condemn people. I'm here to build you up. And if you've been through a divorce, you especially need to know what God thinks about marriage. Because if you ever go into another one, you need to go into it with a changed mind and a changed heart. Did you know that, they say that 52% of marriages end in divorce? Second marriages is like 60-something percent. And third marriages is like 70-something percent. Trial and error is not the way to do it. Your chances don't go up of success, they go down. But let me tell you how to ensure success. Find out what God says about something. Begin to think that way. That starts the process of your destiny being changed. Second marriages can be successful. I don't know why I said all that. But I did. You say, what does that have to do about faith? It has everything to do with faith. It's what you believe about life that's your faith. It's your full expression of life. It's your worldview. If I believe that God is mad at me all of the time, then I'm not going to go to Him. If I believe that God loves me unconditionally, I'll go into His presence and worship Him and love Him. In my attitude, I might worship Him the other way, but it'll be out of cowering fear. Oh God, please don't kill me. Other than come and say, Father, I thank You that You are my Father and I'm Your very own child. And I thank You that You love me. Can you see the difference? What is the difference? It's a difference in faith. It's a difference in faith. It's your outlook. It's your worldview. It's my philosophy of about who God is. And I'm allowing the Word of God to frame what that is. And if I don't like where I'm going, I need to change what I'm doing. And it begins with changing how I think about something. See, a lot of times, you know what we do? We get a plan and we want God to bless it. And it has nothing to do with the way that He thinks. It's very difficult for God to add His blessing onto something that's not His ideal. Can I say that again? It's very difficult for God to add His blessing on something that is contrary to His will. He can't do it. And we're wanting Him to bless our deal. What we need to learn how to do is find out what His deal is. It's already blessed. And all we got to do is line our minds up with it and our words and our actions. And guess what? It changes the destiny. I want to say this to you. God wants you to be successful in what He's designed you to be. God did not design a person to fail. God designed you to be all that He created you to be. And I'm still discovering what that is with me. I haven't seen the full picture yet. But I do know this, that as I spend time with God and I spend time meditating in His Word and in His ways, it's amazing. I get to know Him better and I get to know me better. I get to know more about what I'm supposed to be. But you know, a lot of times we ignore God, but yet we still want all the goodies, but yet we miss out on so much because we don't understand what He's about. I want to discover what He's about. I want to discover His heart. I want to love His people. I want to be an encourager of people. I've got a destiny. You've got a destiny. And I'm finding my destiny. And I will fulfill my destiny in Jesus' name. I declare that. I will fulfill my destiny in Jesus' name. You need to declare that about your life. That you will fulfill your destiny in Jesus' name. There are things in your heart that you know that you need to be doing. God put them in there. They're dreams. Things that you're passionate about. Things that you've thought about for a long, long time. It's in there and it won't go away. But you're afraid. You're afraid. If you're ever going to realize your dream, you got to change. It starts with your thinking. And it runs the gamut. Thinking changes speaking. Speaking changes action. Action changes habit. Habit changes character, and character changes destiny. And you begin to realize what you are. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Oh, I didn't get very far in the first service. Deuteronomy 30:19. God is talking to Israel. This day I call heaven and earth as a witness against you that I have set before you life and death and blessing and cursing. Say this next word real loud. What does it say? After now. Choose! Smart aleck. Choose! One thing that God gave you that He did not give any other creature is choice. Choose. Well, if God wants me to have this, He'll give it to me. If He don't, He won't. Nah. That's not how it works. Choose life. When you choose life, you choose destiny. So I just won't choose. You chose. Yeah, I said this in the first service. I want to say it in this one. I have heard people say, I am not going to teach my kid about God. I want my child to be able to make up their mind on their own. What's wrong with that? The whole world is designed to shape and influence our children. MTV is shaping our children. Not in a good way. There's a lot of things out there that are after the minds of our children. They're injecting ways of thinking into our children that is not going to lead them towards their destiny. It does not lead them in the way of life. It leads them in the way of death. You are the one. You are the influencer of your child. You should be the main influence in your child's life. Well, I just don't want to turn them off. Turn them off! Put it in them. What happens if a child strays and they have no teaching? They have no influence. When they come to the end of themselves, they have no place from which to return. If you put the right things in a child, when he gets older and if he gets away, guess what? When he hits rock bottom, he'll know where to go. Why? Because you influenced and you put it in them. See, they still have to choose it. You can't choose it for them. But he goes on to say, choose life so that you and your children may live. Listen, the choices that you make affect your children. They'll affect your children's children and your children's children's children. That works for the good. It'll work for the bad. If you choose nothing, if you choose death, guess what you're passing on? Death. He says, choose life that you and your children may live and have life. It's important. It's important. One of the greatest things that a church can do is help you raise your children. We're doing everything that we know to do right now. We're doing our marriage seminar that we did. It's designed to strengthen marriage and save marriages. Our men's fraternity, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Men's fraternity is awesome. It is designed for men to become men of God and leaders in their home and still be men. Men shouldn't be women. Men should be men, but they ought to be men of integrity and men of character. We found out that there's four faces of manhood. Any of you guys know what they are? Face of the king, face of the warrior, the face of the friend, and the face of the lover. Wow, good stuff. What does a king do? He's the man of integrity. What does the warrior do? He is the provider and the protector. What does the lover do? He's the one that loves. Dude, we're all about that. What does the friend do? He's a friend. And that's all part of being a man. What are we trying to do? We're trying to influence fathers that they can influence their sons and their daughters and their families. Why? Because we're choosing life. We're learning to think different about life. Manhood is not how many deer you've killed, how many touchdowns you've scored, how many women you've been with. It's not about all of that kind of stuff. It's about real manhood as God sees it. Okay. So if you're not involved in men's fraternity, there's a good invitation right there. I want to talk a little bit today about something that we called last week your automatic response system, your subconscious heart. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You're more than just a physical being. You are spirit. You have a soul. You have a mind and will and emotions. And you live in a physical body. You're intricately designed by God. And God has put within you I call it a GPS to guide you into success. Now, let me define success, because success is not necessarily about being a millionaire, although I believe God wants some people to make millions of dollars. I am not a poverty guy, okay? I don't believe that there's grace in poverty unless you choose to do something for God where you go in and you minister to people in poverty. But I don't think that there's any value in being poor or rich. But I think God wants some people to be rich so that they can help the poor. I think that God wants us all to be a full supply so that we can have to give to every good cause. Okay? So when I say prosperity, I'm not talking about what you see on TV. That's hurt us. The prosperity, there is a gospel of prosperity that is the real gospel. Then there's the gospel of prosperity that's designed to get you to give an offering. And I'm not talking about that one. Although we do take offerings, okay? But we're not manipulating you to give. What was I talking about before I interrupted myself? Your GPS system. You have a guidance system on the inside of you. And let me illustrate this to you. And there's a term that they use in psychology called set points. And a set point is like an airplane that has automatic pilot. And it's piloted, it's automatically piloted to fly at 30,000 feet. Now you can take the stick and you can make it go up to 35,000 feet and you can hold it there. When you let go of that stick, what is that plane going to do? It's going to go back down to 30,000 feet. Why? Because it's that set point. You can take the stick and take it down to 20,000, but when you let it go, what's it going to do? It's going to go back up to 30. If you want it to fly at 35, what do you need to do? You need to change its set points. You need to change the program so that it will fly that height. Can I say this to you? You are flying at your set points right now. If you look at your life if you're falling short of what you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to be doing, guess what you need to do? You need to change your set points. And we're going to talk about that just a little bit. And let me give you another illustration. We've seen TV shows of people who win the lottery. Maybe they'll win $10,000. And then in a year or two later, they're completely broke. Why? Even though they were millionaires out here, they were not millionaires in here. And for them to remain millionaires, they would have to change the way that they'd have to change their set points. You could take all, our government could take all the money in the world. They'd like to do that, I think. Take all the money in the world, bring it in, and distribute it equally throughout the United States. Let's just take the United States. All the money in the United States, take away everybody's money, bring it in, and distribute it equally among everybody. Within a short time, those who were rich before would be rich, and those who were poor before would be poor. Why? Because you rise or fall to the level of your set points. There's a reason that people are wealthy. Because they have that mindset. There's a reason that a lot of people are poor. Now there could be more than one reason, but a lot of people are poor because that's their set point. They have what we call a poverty mentality. They have the ability to do better, but they never rise above their set points. They could get an inheritance, and within a short time, it'd be gone. And they'd be right back where they were, and they don't have anything to show for it. They haven't made any plans for the future. because they live in that mentality. You can change that. And you might say, well, you know what? I make all I want. I have enough. Well, you selfish thing. There are people in other countries that are starving to death. Most of the world lives on less than $2 a day. One of the reasons that you need to prosper is so that you can help those who are not, who are hurting. We're going to have a project. We'll be introducing it in a couple of weeks that we want to do something that's going to be significant. But if you're not prospering or not able to give, then guess what? We can't get it done. You need to prosper. Not just for yourself, you need to prosper for others. Because I believe that God wants us to be able to give to every good work. Well, I just want enough for me and mine. Selfish! There's more to life than you and yours. There's more to life than you and yours. There are other people that you can influence. There are other people that you can help. Let's talk a little bit about dieting. You want to do that? Let's talk about dieting. I've been on diets. Oh my gosh. Several times I have gone on diets and I lose 30 pounds and gain 40. Then I lose 30 pounds and gain 50. Then I lose 30 pounds and gain 70. Why? It's how I see food. It's my set points. And the only way to be successful is that you're going to have to see food different than you've ever seen it before. You have to change your set points. Now, one of the things that I'm determined to do this time, I've gone further than I've ever gone in my life, but I'm changing the way that I view food. I'm changing the way that I eat. I'm not on a diet. I'm on a lifestyle change. Okay? If I don't do that, guess what? I'll probably gain 100. But I have to change my set points. And you can do that. You can change your situation. You can change your situation. There's a story. Has anybody ever heard of Roger Bannister? Everybody that's here in the first service knows the story. He is the first man who broke the 4-minute mile. And we got several runners in our church, but he is the first one who broke the 4-minute mile. The experts thought that the 4-minute mile would never be broken. In fact, at the time that he broke it, it had been 9 years since anybody had set any kind of mile record. And it wasn't anywhere close to the 4-minute mile. And some of the medical field at that time thought that it would put such stress on the heart that it would damage the heart if anybody ran less than a 4-minute mile. So Roger Bannister was determined to do that. So he began to train. He began to train physically and he began to train mentally. You know what he did? He started working on his set points. He didn't believe what they said about the limits. And in 1954, Roger Bannister ran a 3-minute, 59.4 or 6-minute mile and broke the 4-minute mile. Nobody had broken a record in 9 years. Within 30 days after he broke that record, somebody broke his record. And just a year or two after that record, 300 people had broken the 4-minute mile. What happened? What happened? Can you see the power of influence here? Can you see somebody that achieved something that nobody thought could be done and all of a sudden people start achieving? Why? Because they change the way that they think about certain things. We have self-limiting ideals. See, we serve a limitless God. We really do. We have a limitless gospel. See, Jesus said, all things are possible to him who believes. Did you know there have been people in history who have done incredible things in the name of Jesus? I'm talking about miraculous things in the name of Jesus. But you know, most people, by the time they're out of high school, have such limited mentalities about themselves that they never achieve what they were designed to achieve. That's such a waste. That is such a waste. Listen, you can change your guidance system. You can change your inner GPS. And it's called, go with me to Romans 12, and we got to quit. Because here's the scripture that goes with what I'm talking about. Romans 12, 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Can I say this to you? I'm going to close. And we'll pick this back up next time. You have more potential than you've reached. You are designed for more than you've accomplished. You know what one of our set points is, Mark? Sometimes we'll have success and we think, okay, I've succeeded now. I can rest. I don't believe I've reached my potential yet. I don't believe that I've accomplished everything that I'm designed to do yet. I want to go out reaching. I don't want to ever come to the place that I think that I've maxed out. I want to be a learner. I want to be one who is still achieving when I go home to be with the Lord. Just because you get old. I used to think 58 was old. You know, and it's amazing you get to thinking that way. And you get to thinking, you know, I can't do what I used to. I'm doing more than I've ever done. And I'm 58. I believe, and I went to a minister's meeting, and several of those guys were in their 70s, and they're still kicking and going and doing things. I'm thinking, bless God, I can do it when I'm 70 too. One of my mentors went to be with the Lord when he was 86. He was still preaching the gospel when he went to be with the Lord. Hey, I can too. If he can do it, guess what? He's stretching my set points. I see things and they stretch your thinking. We need to do better than the last generation because they have paved and pioneered the way for us. And we can do more. Set your children up to do more than what you've done, not less. We can accomplish a bunch. We're going to pray. I'm going to ask my prayer team to come. There's no way to cut this off. There's no homiletical, exegetical way to stop this. So we're just going to chop it off. We're going to pick it up and we're going to pray. And let me say this to you today. If you're here, the most important thing that you can ever do, if you haven't done this, is to make Jesus Lord. You will never produce anything of eternal value. Natural fallen man cannot produce eternity. You have to be connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to be saved or born again for that to happen. And if you haven't done that, these people here today can pray that prayer with you where you invite Jesus into your heart. He'll cleanse your life, redeem you by His blood. You'll be born again. And then you can start the eternal life that we're talking about. You can start changing your thoughts. And it will not only produce in the natural, it'll produce in the spiritual too. But that can't happen if you don't, or you're not connected with Jesus. So if you haven't done that, please come forward and do that today. Every one of us who are born again has had to go through that same gate, Jesus. And He can meet you today. It doesn't matter what your need is today. We believe God will meet your need. So as I begin to pray, I want you to come and I want you to express to them, you may need healing in your body. You just may need help. You may need some love. You just may need a hug. I don't care what it is that you need. There's people here who will pray with you and encourage you. So I want to invite you to come. As I begin to pray, I want you to begin to come. Father God, in Jesus' name, thank you so much for your love. Thank you so much for what your word tells us that we are and can be and can do. Thank you that you have laid out such a wonderful redemptive plan for us in our lives. Thank you for this word that's gone forth. And I know that we're going to reap a harvest from this today. Bless your people as they respond to you in Jesus' name. Amen.